Today, the Department of Defense has about 3.5 million people who consistently, that's our core population, who get a card. We purchase and bring into the vaults of the smart card vendors and use about 200,000 cards a month. We issue consistently around 10,000 a day. That's smart cards, and then we issue, you know, the other credentials that DOD issues, probably another 10,000 a day worldwide. We have 1,600 sites with 2,500 issuance machines. And, you know, on the usage side, 93% of DOD networks, you can't get on the computer without your card. And, you know, Jason, I was gone from DOD for 3 years. When I left, you would occasionally see a signed email. I would tell you that 80% of my email and almost 100% of just normal business that comes in from DOD, it's either signed or encrypted. So that's a huge change even in the 3 years that I've been gone. You know, those are the types of things that have happened. And I guess one other thing, I use the one example here that I like. We used to do paper time cards and everything else. Well, here every 2 weeks we just click on a button and on the computer a PDF comes up with your timesheet. And you just click and digitally sign it and push another button and it goes files itself. And that's all because of a digital signature on the CAC, which is put into a business process here. It's so much easier than all the nonsense that we used to have to go through. So, you know, we've been able to automate things by having these great cryptographic and digital tools.
Give me a sense of just the change that happened because of technology.
So when we started out with 32K cards and they grew to 64K. In general, and that was just really enough to support the requirements of HSPD 12. That's now doubled again, and we're starting to issue 128, 144K cards, which gives us some room to put other applications on.
When we talk about 32K or 64K, give me a sense of what that actually means. Is that's the size of the memory chip? What is that?
It's the size of the usable part of the chip that we can use. It's not a lot of data, but we don't really need a lot. We just need enough to be able to anchor your identity. That's really the goal.
What something 32K would be? Would it be a Microsoft Word file? Would it be...
I would say it would be a medium-sized Microsoft Word file. It's something not very large at all. Just a text file without any graphics and stuff in it.
And then now we're up to 128, 144K. It's still not huge, but obviously much bigger. Can you give me a sense of what that would look like?
We only have about probably 30-some data elements on the card. I mean, kind of look at the FIPS. We're very close to that. You know, the things that took the space are the certificates and the fingerprints and the digital photo. So that really topped us out, especially in the Department of Defense, from some of the legacy stuff that we had at the 64K limit. Now we've got enough so we can put, you know, key stores on there. We're talking about, you know, someday an iris scan or something like that. So we have a lot of room really now to deal with. And, you know, we've been talking about having other applications like a purse application or something like that also on there. So we're actually pretty happy with the 144. We see that has taken us for at least a couple of years.
So you start with 32, you moved to 64, now you're moving to 128, 144. How else has the card changed?
Probably in 2005, we put in the contactless antenna, so that's been a big plus. And then visually, I think, and probably the DOD CAC is the only one that really sees this, so we had some modifications with FIPS 201, but we also put this design that we had done by the government printing office on there for anti-counterfeiting. So that happened about the same time as the PIV standard came out. So when you look at one that's got that bluish tint and that background on it, that means it's a DOD PIV. That's a full-up card that's met the PIV and HSPD 12 standards.
So it's been 10 years. And the CAC card was first introduced to the Defense Department. Give me a sense of the beginning. Was it the Navy that started first? I think a lot of people think the Navy got that first common access card, the first secure ID card.
The original smart card program in the Department of Defense really started in the Army. And that was probably in the 1996-97 timeframe. It was called the MARC card, the Multi-Access Reader card. And they did a bunch of projects in Hawaii, concentrated on one of the infantry divisions there at Schofield Barracks. And at the end of the pilot that they did, they decided not to continue with the program, although it showed a lot of promise, and the Navy picked it up. So, you know, that's kind of where I got introduced to the smart card process. And so the Navy did it and kind of did it in a multi-service role to help the Air Force and the Army. And everything was really concentrated in the Hawaii area. And then probably about 1999, they put together a DOD smart card office to come and to look and decide what the future was going to be. So, you know, that's really how it all started. I guess if you look back as to what it was back then, there was no civilian standard ID card in the department. You know, Of course, we always had the standard military ID cards, but there was no overarching strategy for how we were going to use that in the future other than, you know, was it really a benefits card and Geneva Conventions card for the time.
And why Hawaii versus any other place? Why not D.C.? Why not Norfolk? Why not San Diego? Why Hawaii? Do you know?
So I was told that what they were really looking for is a place that was kind of isolated because there were things like, you know, there were some electronic money pieces that had gone into it. They wanted to have it in a place where it could be kind of contained and where, you know, people wouldn't be taking their cards and traveling like all over the place with the expectation of service. So it started there. That's, I guess, the official explanation. Now, the unofficial one is there are a lot of people here in Washington who, you know, kind of had supported this, just happened to be transferred out there. And the four or five of them really had the idea how to make this work. As a matter of fact, they're the ones who showed the promise to me when I showed up on the scenes. You know, they went out there and they made this thing into something that somebody had to stand up and pay attention to.
All of a sudden, fast forward to 2000, DoD sets up this smart card office, and they begin issuing the first smart card under the Common Access Card Program. There was a set of standards that DoD, I think, either helped write or started working with the rest of the government to get adopted, or was the first card program really focused solely DoD only, and the cards started to roll out to military personnel?
Although there were discussions on the federal level about interoperability, and, you know, sometime back in probably early 2000 was the first government smart card interoperability spec. The MDC really stepped out and they were tasked to go make this happen. And they really started with a clean sheet of paper. And I think they made some really, really smart moves that were really bold back then. We look back today and say, gee, you know, how did we get here? But, I mean, this is really the first major Java card implementation that was done anywhere in the world because it also now included all the DoD civilians and everything else. It took a lot of software changes and data feeds to be able to make all that happen. But I really think that they sat down and looked at it because the Common Access Card still today, I'm told, is the only smart card program in the world that has a multi-vendor, works in that environment. Most people, they just choose their vendor, and they have this very vertical slice. We made a conscious decision that we were going to try and do this with and have some competition out there. So I think they planted that anchor. It's been difficult, and it certainly complicates things, but, you know, I think it's proven its worth in the long run.